Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello. Shalom. We want to ask everybody, thank everybody for joining us for another edition of Blog Talk. I'm your host, Bonobod. I'm going to be the host, the reader, the scribe, the scripture getter, the armor bearer, all of it, man. But we're going to do it and enjoy ourselves going through and doing what we're doing because I'm enjoying the week's class that we've been going through and the topics that we've been going through because they've been very enlightening to, you know, just the changes. And as the Spirit shows more and more, there's more changes that are required, more as we get older, as we grow. There are more changes that are required for us to now step in, get closer to the Father, get blessed more by the Father. Getting blessed by the Father, the whole nine. And as I keep reading, the more and more I keep understanding that, I think a lot of us, most of the time, and I want to get a text from anybody, if you can't hear me or I'm not clear, please let me know. I'll speak up, be more clear when I'm doing everything else. But I love the feedback. So the point I wanted to get to was it's really that time where it's showing how much change is required. Change is a lifetime thing. Getting right with the Father, working on it. We have to Christ come back before Judgment Day. And now it's like, okay, now it's too late. Now all that the shoulda, coulda, woulda, what I thought I should have did, what I should have been working on. So your brother just told me a minute ago, he said, we know it's good for us. We just do it. We want sweet. We want what's comfortable. But we all know what we're supposed to be working on. But we don't give to that. And now we have to get to that point of, okay, it may not taste good. It may not smell good. It may not feel good. It may be time-consuming. But it still means we still need to work on it. It's still required of us to work on it and now get ourselves to the point where we're getting closer and closer to the Most High. I want to go here. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 18. Let me find this real quick. I'm going to start verse 2. This is Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 18, and we'll start at verse 2. The Lord, are you?
Ecclesiastes chapter 18, verse 2. The Lord only is righteous, and there is none other but He.
So we understand this kind of goes good into the Most High Kills class. We're showing you that there is no other power but the Father. So our everyday dedication is to the Father. He's the one in control of everything. And we have to now stay conscious of the fact that this is about understanding that he's only righteous, and there is another but him. Go ahead.
Who governs the world with the palm of his hand,
mm-hmm.
and all things obey his will.
Go ahead.
For he is the king of all, by his power, dividing holy things among them from profane.
He said he divides holy things among them from profane. So we know that we understand and that we have been going in this topic about cleaning your mind up. We understand that the Father has put us in this position. And we went over this, and it was like towards the end of the class, but we kept showing that the Father does. It's about bringing us out. It's about exposing Israel to all of the foul, defame things that defile our body, defile our spirit, the whole nine, but it's about taking you out of it. For the Most High, look at it, trying to show us there's a better life. We submit to Him and follow Him. There's a better life for us. Go ahead. Verse 4.
To whom hath He given power to declare His work?
Go ahead.
And who shall find out His noble path?
Yeah, I love it, man. He's asking, who is he going to declare his works to? But every day we see the power of the Most High, if you're paying attention. If you're a person that's really trying to walk in the Spirit, You can watch and see the Most High blessed in so many ways. Even correction is a blessing. But you have to be patient enough to allow yourself to go through the process to be able to see what or to be able to see the benefit of it. Because a lot of times when we get corrected, we're ready to run from the correction because I don't like how it makes me feel. I don't like the situation it puts me in, and we never stop to say, hey, you know what? I am going to go through this, and I'm going to go through this process, and as I go through this process, I am going to allow that in my patience, allow the Most High to show me his will, show me his power on the other side. That's why a lot of times from anger to everything else, that's where spirits come from, because you lack faith in the Father. The spirit that kills every man and woman in this truth is doubt. You won't trust the process. I've been brought to a low estate. Okay, well, trust the process. The Most High is making me have to submit here and humble down here. Well, then trust the process. And that takes patience and diligence. That takes faith. I have to believe that the Most High is here for my good. So the things I need, things I'm going through, maybe it's what I needed to go through so that I can now make the changes that I need to make. Maybe I need to be shown my imperfections so that I can now clean up my imperfections or strengthen my weaknesses. But while I realize where that lack of faith comes in and people run from the afflictions or the tests or the trials that the Most High put us through, when you run, you're never going to see the power of the Father. You're never going to see him. You'll never see his work. You'll never see what he's capable of doing for us as a nation, because we won't just humble down and trust the process. We have to submit. From there, read on. Keep reading.
Verse 6, as for the wondrous works of the Lord, there may nothing be taken from them.
Go ahead.
Neither may anything be put unto them. Neither can the ground of them be found out. When a man hath done, then he beginneth.
He said, when a man hath done, then he beginneth. When you finally get to the point and say, you know what, Father, I'm going to trust your process. I don't have an answer. If it's a wondrous work, if it's your ground, it's like you put me in this situation. I don't know the outcome, and there's no way I can control this situation. But when a man finally does that, now you're beginning. Now you're getting started. Because now at that point, you've really literally put your life in the hands of the Most High, and you let the Most High direct you and take you through what you need to go through, refine you, build you up, bring you out on the other side even stronger. But that's when you started. That's when you've now finally came and started getting yourself ready to do the work of the Most High. Go ahead.
And when he leaveth off, and then he begins, then shall he be doubtful.
He said, that man is doubtful when he stops. Like Scripture said, what man put his hand to the plow and look it back? Is he not fit for the kingdom? That doubt is what makes men stop. All of a sudden now, I'm second guessing. Is this the right thing? Is this the right decision? Should I trust this? I don't see. I see if I do it like this, that, it's a better outcome for me if I do this, that, rather than trusting the process of the Most High. The Most High got me in this situation, got me doing this. Okay, trust the process. And that's the hardest. I don't care what nobody says. I mean, it's the hardest step is trusting process. It could be no different than a woman saying, well, it's a man, he got more than a woman. Now there's sisters in that situation where she's a sister wife. And all the spirits and everybody around, from her family to everybody, is letting her know she's stupid. If He don't need more than one woman, because if he loved you, he wouldn't need nobody else. And all these damn thoughts that go through. And the father's looking like, you know what? Okay. If you trust the process, you may end up with a sister. You may end up with another spirit for help there in the time to come. But what most of us do, because I don't, because I second-guess the father and I second-guess the direction that my life is going in, I do a lot of second-guessing. And when I do that, I just left off. I'm stepping away from the father. I'm not bonding closer with him. I'm not trusting that he knows what he's doing. And that's a hard lesson to learn for a lot of us, because we lose because we don't trust that the father knows what he's doing. Half the time, we think that we see it and got more wisdom than the father. I'm steady trying to get out of what the father's got me going through, because he's trying to refine me. Like he said, like gold is tried in the fire of affliction. So the things that we go through, that affliction, I've been doing nothing but refining you. I make you better, things I have you going through. But we leave off when we doubt. You really start, you begin to go to work with the Most High. You begin to let the Father work on you when you finally just submit to it. Give yourself to the process. Read on.
What is man? The word to serve the people. What is his good? What is his evil?
That's the crazy thing. We don't know. We don't know what our good and evil is. But the Most High does. And through all of the tests that we go through all the affliction, through all the trials that we go through, the Most High is using those things to define our good and our evil, our strengths and our weaknesses. That's like Scripture says, when you come to serve the Most High, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in the same Apocrypha. He said, when you come to serve the Most High, he said, prepare your spirit for temptation. I'm supposed to prepare myself for the test. So the Father, this is the test. Are you going to now just submit to the process that I got you going through and let me build in you what I'm supposed to be building? Or are you going to keep second-guessing, doubting and second-guessing me, so now I can't build in you what's supposed to be built? Go ahead.
The number of a man's days at the most are 100 years.
We know that. But it's a celebration. You have to know this one, this only live 90. It's a celebration, 100 and something. If you live over 100, they're throwing a party for you, because most lives ain't that long. Read on.
As a drop of water unto the sea, and a gravel stone in comparison of the same.
That's how I show you, Father, if we're supposed to live, if we have eternity to live, if that's what the Most I have to offer is eternity, he said, your little 100 years, that's like the first time go around. That we would be compared to a 1-year-old. If it's 1,000 years, bro, we're not even a 1-year-old. Well, I guess we give you one, right? On 1,000, this how these make you 1 year old a day. So you gotta look at what the scripture is showing, man. Look at what he's showing. Hey, man, we're just starting out. The number of a man's days, the number of a man's days of the most at the most are 100 years. As a drop of water into the sea, as a gravel stone in comparison to the sand, go ahead.
So are 1,000 years to the days of eternity.
So are 1,000 years to the day of eternity. We don't even get 1,000. We get a day. We get a 100 years in our life. Read on.
Therefore is God patient with you.
He's patient with who? With men. With us. It's like having a baby. It's like hear that. It was you only hear 1,000 years, 100 years. This is your first time going around. We live our lives like children, because we are children. We are new to the concept of life. We are new to everything. Everything for us is the first time. Everything. When we turned five, that was the first time we turned five. And everything that happened at that time period, that was that would be the first and the only time we'd experience it. Because when you live to walk the earth a 1,000 years, what haven't you seen? What generation is that? You gotta then look at when Shop was going with them classes where you look at Noah and these cats that lived 800 years. The cats lived like 500 years. Cats that lived like 900 years. You're looking at one generation past, and he's coming. The earth cycles for 1,000 years. What haven't you seen and experienced in 1,000 years? We only get 100. We don't even get 100 of those years. So the Most High, look at this, he's Most High is very merciful, understanding that we're inexperienced when it comes to living. We're the generation, we're the people now at this time that have the most inexperience when it comes to living. Read 11 again.
Ecclesiastes chapter 18, verse 11. Therefore is God patient with them and poured forth his mercy upon them.
Go ahead.
He saw and perceived their end to be evil.
Of course our end is evil. We are inexperienced. We fall into everything easy. We're easily influenced. We're weak. I mean, our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Our people are destroyed for lack of experience. Our ancestors are the people we would call old. Our grandparents, they just as young as us. They just as inexperienced and immature when it comes to life as anyone else. This is the first time you've done it. It ain't even got a chance to come around so we can do it again. The Most High is trying to be more and more patient, putting the work in to develop and experience and strengthen us, because our days are going to be, it's only going to get worse. So if we looked at this, as bad as it's going to become, right now, this is where I have to trust the process that the Father's getting me prepared for something bigger. I don't know. We can't even perceive what is going to become of this. We don't know how bad it's going to get in the world we live. But if we don't allow the changes in us that need to be made, the things that need to be strengthened in us, if I don't let them get developed, as it gets worse out here, I'm not going to be prepared. If the only thing I'm focused on is making sure my bills are paid, they'll be paid. They'll be paid. People are giving away money at this point. You're sending letters. Here's a loan for $300,000. Everybody out here, the lotto, the every damn thing else. Money is always going to be there. You're going to live and die paying bills like the rest of the world. But however it gets out here, the scriptures say, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our time and strength of salvation. That process that I needed to develop me and get me right, get my mind right, get my relationship with the Father strong so that his mercy is there for me. If I don't allow that process to happen, I'm only destroying myself. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. The mercy of the Lord, the mercy of man is toward his neighbor.
Uh-huh.
For the mercy of the Lord is upon all flesh.
Read that again.
The mercy of man is toward his neighbor. For the mercy of the Lord is upon all flesh.
Read.
He reproveth.
He does what?
He reproveth.
So that's the one that we're not getting away with. This is about correcting. This is about showing you the right way of doing it. The process is always going to be, no, that's not the right way, but I'm going to have you go through. You're going to bump, you're going to stub your toe. You're going to fall down. You're going to do all these things because I'm going to show you the right way to do it. He said he reproveth and he nurtures. Read.
And teacheth.
He said he teacheth. Go ahead.
And bringeth again.
Read on.
As a shepherd his flock.
That's what Moses was trying to do. It, man. He said, I'm a reprove. I'm a nurture. I'm going to teach, and I'm going to bring you again. I'm going to make sure that you're a part of the body. You're the flock. It was never about destroying. It was always about correcting. We're built with flaws. It's the first, from the time we was born to 70 years, we ain't seen Jack. We just learned to walk. We're learning to walk. We're learning to read because that's the one thing we're capable of doing. We can read the book, but I ain't even processed living this yet. But the Father's doing all this right now. This is our time of preparation. Read.
Verse 14, he hath mercy on them that receive discipline.
He hath mercy on them that receive what?
Discipline.
Self-control. Allowing someone to teach me how to have self-control. Read on.
And that diligently seek after his judgment.
Read on.
My son, blemish not thy good deeds. Neither use uncomfortable words when thou givest anything.
So the Most High showed us one thing. This is all about development, growth. This is about understanding that the Father is about building us, teaching us. We have to believe in his word, believe in his process, believe in the things that he's showing us that work. And because this is so new, look at this now. Crazy, we look at, I thought I was grown when I was 20. Look at my kids now, they said they grown. At 20, I can't tell you nothing at 20. 22, 23, I'm grown. Now we look at, now my age, in my 50s, I look at a 20-year-old, I say, oh, okay, you know, he's a kid, man. I remember how many mistakes I made at that age. Because I looked at him, okay, he's a kid. He's been here 20 years, and hell, 18 of them I was raising this dude up. He was learning right from wrong, getting his hand slapped, getting the belt on his butt. So technically, he only really has had about a couple of years of some type of living. Because most of that was instruction. If we can see that in our children, how is it that we don't see the Most High see it the same way? I'm going to discipline you because I know that you obey. In this big world, in this game called life, where it's something that goes to eternity, you are a babe. In your 100 years, you ain't even seen a fraction. You ain't even lived long enough to see changes in the world. You ain't seen kingdoms go up and kingdoms go down. In our lifetime, we probably never will see that. We ain't here long enough. We're not here long enough. This is a learning process for us. Right now, we're children. This is our learning process. Making mistakes, learning how to get up, do it right. It's a learning process. So our steps are You know, I know how I was raised. Now it's time to clean my mind and let me get myself right for the Father. So from there, I want you to go to Zechariah, chapter 13 and verse 9. Was Zephaniah. Let me see. Yeah, Zephaniah, right? 13 and 9? No, it's Zechariah. It is. Chapter 13 and verse 9.
And I'm reading
the third
one. Yep. Zechariah 13 and 9.
I want you to start at verse
Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Let's read up. Let's read up a little bit. I want you to start at verse 1. Start at verse 1. Zechariah 13, verse 1.
In that day, shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness.
And that is, near those days, man, as a people, there's a fountain open. It's just everything that we go into. We look at a fountain, a flood of negative that's open to us. All day long, from porn to them, adultery to murder to, I mean, unclean thing out there in the world. It's wide open for us. And our people is all into it. It's pouring out a bunch of negative to them. And we take it, we live amongst it. We operate in it all day. Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land.
Read on.
And they shall no more be remembered.
Read on.
And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land.
You see, the Most High, this is that process, the cleaning process. All the negative that's been open to us, the Most High, I'm going to go through the land, I'm going to clean it. But if I'm cleaning the land and we're in this wicked world, then while the land is being cleaned and while the negative is being destroyed and cleaned out, a lot of people are getting caught right up in it and getting destroyed right up in it to the point that Pastor, if I'm coming back and I'm going to clean up, a lot of our people are going to be destroyed by the virtue of the fact that I am so caught up in this fountain of sin. Homosexuality, I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cool to be feminine, wear my little dresses and makeup and joke around like this gay shit is cool. I'm like, all right. The Most is I'm finna come through and I'm finna clean up the land. I'm cleaning the house, and I'm gonna be cleaning up and destroying all of the unclean spirits. So if I'm still now attached to these unclean spirits, or not, I am. I've allowed myself to become for these unclean spirits. The Most High going to cut me off the same way. Go ahead.
Thou shalt not live, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that when any yet prophesied, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, did you look at it? We're going to get back to our point. Because Most I've shown you, I am going to start that process of cleaning. Like my parents didn't raise us. But all my parents, shit, if we go back, we didn't have parents raising values, the whole nine. Everything is accepted. So the father's like, I'm finna go through a clean house. Read on.
Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied.
Verse 4.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive.
He said, there's going to be a lot of false prophets because of where we, it's because of the environment that we've been raised up in, the environment that we've been taught. That's why the cleaning process has to start with, I'm seeing the wicked world that we're in. I got to now detach myself. If I'm cleaning myself up, I'm now have to attach myself following the wickedness out here in the world. I have to fight every day to clean up my mind. I have to. Go ahead.
But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman. The man taught me to keep cattle from my youth.
He said, for men did what?
Taught me to keep cattle from my youth.
Read on.
And no one, and once, well, yet one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? But he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
Read on.
Awake, O Lord, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little one.
Read on.
And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die.
So the Most High said, I'm already for the curse of the shepherd. I got to turn my hand towards the little ones. I got to look at us as a people, not the leaders. Oh, not we've been. Our leaders are destroyed. We all know that. We all know black business. Ain't none of us been able to help anybody. So the Most High said, I've already put the sword against them. Their life, their fate is sealed. Right. You think he'll do something for us if he ain't been able to. Malcolm X, Mandela, Nelson Mandela, Oxfam, Martin Luther King, like you said, Barack Obama. Somebody was supposed to come in and be the savior for our people. Basically make life better. Most of us already cursed them. They was never going to be able to do anything to help our people. He said, but now it's time, God, I'm dealing with them. Now it's time to now turn my hand towards the little ones. Us as a people, the nobodies, the common people. I'm going through now us, the people, and said, okay, he said, two parts, right, shall be cut off
and die.
Read on.
But the third shall be left therein.
So we know two-thirds of our people are going to put to death because two-thirds of our people are going to put to death because the light they choose, they can't see themselves living anything else. They believe that this is who they are. And no matter what nobody say, no matter what somebody show them, I'm never going to, they're not going to change the fact that this is who they believe they are. So the Muslims are two-thirds of them will be cut off and die. Read on.
And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined.
And that's what we're going through now. A lot of our people, two-thirds of our people, they sentenced to death. They ain't going nowhere. They refuse to change. But the Most High have one-third that's going through that process. Now and even till Christ comes back, even more, we're going to be going, there's going to be a process of cleaning. They are going to be refined as gold is tried. The way you refine gold is extreme heat. I have to now melt away the imperfections, the impurities, the whole nine. Read on.
And I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them.
So from everything you're going through, it's really strengthening your relationship with the Father. It's everything that we're going through, our relationship with the Father is becoming valuable, or we're becoming valuable to the Father. Go ahead. Other than I, right? It says, I will say, he said, they will call upon my name and I will hear them. I will say, is this my people? And they will say, the Lord is my power. So we look at it, a relationship is being built through everything that we're experiencing. So everything that we're being taught, everything we're experiencing, and now having to go back to the Father, enduring this, and now making the changes so that you're making yourself right with the Father. This one's building that connection and that bond. That is what we're supposed to be working on. The rest of it is just a distraction. But most of the stuff now that's going on that we have, that we focus on, these are tools. This ain't what your life is supposed to be about. You're supposed to be looking at things and figuring out, okay, I'm not going to let anything distract me or stand in the way of my relationship with the Father, because I'm going to need him. I need him to strengthen me. I need him to strengthen my faith in him. That's what's supposed to be built up. Amen. Psalms chapter 26, start of verse 1.
Psalms chapter 26. What?
Verse 1.
A Psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity.
You know me?
I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide.
That's what our strength is. The fact that I dipped my trust in the Most High, I have walked in mine integrity. I made sure that my focus was being right with him. Am I right in the eyes of the Father? That is what our study is about. That is what our life is supposed to be revolving around. Every day I get up, did I get up in his honor? Every day I went to work, and then I did it in his honor. Battles and tests that the Most High put me through, because at the end of the day, I wanted to make sure that I was still right in his eyes, that I still had honor in his eyes. Read on. Verse 2.
Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart.
He said, this is what we're supposed to be. This is that relationship. David said, I wanted the Most High to examine. I want you to prove me. Test. Put me to the test. Examine me. Show me where I'm weak. Show me my flaws. Where we stop living this fantasy. Like, just because I woke up this morning and I've been reading the Bible, I've been in the camp, or this is that. I wake up and I think that I'm going to be okay, that I'm going to be right with the Father, because I can say a salute and I know my Hebrew and I got me some breakdowns. The Father, like, if that process of you working on yourself, or like David prayed, David asked the Most High to examine me. Everything I'm going through, the Most High is looking and saying, okay, I saw something in you. I saw a weakness, so I need to do this to strengthen that. I saw a spirit on you, selfishness, whatever it is, I got to put you through this to get rid of that. Your pride is strong. Your faith is weak. So I got to put you through these different tests and different obstacles and different things to strengthen or to now get rid of something that only may hurt you. Hold that real quick. Go to Psalm, go to John chapter 15 and verse 1. We're going to come back to the Psalm, but I want to read John chapter 15 and verse 1 real fast. St. John 15 and 1.
15 verse 1.
Read that.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman.
Read.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit.
Now, who is doing the, Christ said, I'm the vine, but who's the husbandman? Who's doing the actual work? The Father is. He said, the work that the Father's doing. He said, every branch in me that does what?
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit,
go ahead.
He purges.
He does what?
He purges.
That's like that two-thirds when we cut off and die. But one-third was going to come through the fire. No different than we're looking at this right now. The Most High is in our position. There are people are going to be out here that are unproductive. They're not doing nothing for the Most High. But for the ones that's in this truth and they're working to do something for the Father, he said, you know what, okay, then I'm going to now purge him that he can do what?
That it may bring forth more fruit.
I want him to even be more productive. So for us to be more productive, the Father's like, okay, I got to get rid of this in you. I got to get rid of this in you. I got to get rid of this on you. I got to now prune and clip all of the unnecessary things that are pulling from your spirit so that you can bring forth more fruit. You can be more productive. You can be more blessed. Read on for yourself.
Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Uh-huh.
Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself.
Is that number three?
That's the point.
Okay, okay, go back. Now go back to Psalms 62, right? Or 26, I mean, 26.
Verse 4. Verse 26, Psalms 26, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
For thy loving kindness is before thine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth.
I have walked where?
In thy truth.
Go ahead.
I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with disassemblers.
Read on.
I have hated the congregation of evil doers, and will not sit with the wicked.
So this is the man that brings forth good fruit. He's sustaining a lot of this. He's trying to come out of the world. This is the dude that's trying to do what's right. Read on.
I will wash my hands in innocence.
I'm going to wash my hands where?
In innocence.
Well, right on, read on.
So I will encompass. I will compass thine altar, O Lord.
So the Most High saw one thing, and David was reading. He said, I stayed away from those negatives. But you have to be shown the negatives so you have to stay away from. Disassemblers. He said, I was saying people were trying to pull me out. Of being around where everybody is safe, the Commonwealth of Israel. Yeah, all these different environments that our people are prone to that look okay, there's an effect on your spirit. So David was looking and saying, man, my hands have to be washed in innocence. He says, so I can pass thy altar, oh Lord. I gave myself to your law, that's the commandment. I gave myself to living right in your eyes. Father, feel about what I'm doing today.
Verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works.
Now from there, I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Where we at? Jeremiah 4 and 14.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14.
Get that real quick.
O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness.
Read that again.
O Jerusalem.
Go ahead.
Wash thine heart from wickedness.
He said that's what we had to get to the point of. I got to allow. But how does a man wash his heart? You got to wash your hands in innocence. I got to now start a pattern of good works. How do I get my mind right? It's the innocence. It's doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. A pattern of doing the right thing. Making the right choices. Doing the right thing. Doing people right. That's the process that cleans you up.
Now you're saying through the word.
That's where we're going. That's it. Right? But you look at it. Read verse 14 again.
Jeremiah 4:14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness.
Go ahead.
That thou mayest be saved.
Read on. That you may what?
That thou mayest be saved.
Read on.
How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?
And that's where we are. We have these thoughts that are unprofitable. We give our mind to a lot of stupidity, a lot of shit that don't profit. Go ahead.
Publish affliction from Mount Ephraim.
Read.
Make ye mention to the nation. Behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah.
But we look at how the Most High is showing us. The Most High is always focused on us doing one thing. Our history shows it. It was always focused on one thing, washing your heart, getting your mind right. That's what we got to go into. We have more, as a nation, we do one thing. We have so much, our thoughts are so negative. The Most High looking man, I can't, it's like pride, envy, jealousy, doubt. Our mind is in the wrong place. Like your mind in the gutter. We do all the wrong things and we stay negative. And we wonder why the Most High is not blessing, because I'm not working on my mindset. I'm not allowing my good deeds to clean me up. I'm not allowing me dedicating my time to serve the Father. That was me getting my mind cleaned up, going to class, the whole nine. That was me getting myself cleaned up. What verse we had up? That was in the 14, right? 15? Go to Job with Joel. Joel's at the 2 and verse 13 now. I'm just going through. We'll keep reading because in every chapter, the Most High started is be telling us what's important to him. Joel chapter 2 and verse 13.
Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And rend your heart and not your garments.
Read that again.
And rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil.
So the Most High showing us the whole night. He said, man, I'll always open my, he's like, my heart is open. But you just can't come any way you want to. And what good is I'm ripping my clothes. I'm putting on the show like I'm just sorrowful for what I'm going through. The Most High don't rip your heart, rip your clothes. He said, you got to rip your mind. We go through all the dramatics about, man, I get it, man. I understand. I'm finna die trying to dedicate. I'm gonna be right to the Most High. I'll be at class. I'll be at the high holy days. Everything else, and the whole time the Most High like, you know what? Where's the change at? Where did you clean up your mind? What changes? Have you like went back into your thoughts and looked at, okay, the shit I've been doing? I got to change this about myself. I got to change that about myself. I got to get rid of this. about me. He said, you got to rent your mind, not your clothes. Read 14.
Verse 14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him?
Well, read.
Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God.
Go ahead.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast.
Sanctify, say, read on.
Call a solemn assembly.
Go ahead.
Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that softly breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet.
Read on.
Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and altar, and let them say, spare the Lord, or spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people.
So the short, the Most High waiting for that change, that clean process. The Most High is waiting for us to trust him. Not trust technology. Not trust social media. Not trust my education. The Most High as a nation is waiting for us to put our trust in him. Go to Psalm chapter 73. 73 and 1. Psalm 73 and 1.
73. Verse 1.
Uh-huh.
A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel.
Great.
Even to such are as are of a clean heart.
The most I'm showing, yeah, I'm good to Israel, but the ones I'm really good to are the ones that have a clean heart, that work on getting their mind right, that have put the work in. They've allowed themselves to be examined. They've allowed the Spirit to examine them. The Most High is waiting for us to get to the point where I will allow myself to be examined, and then once Spirit is trying to show me the things in me that I have to work on, for whatever situation we've been going through, Father's like, okay, you went to this for a reason. There are things in you that have to be cleaned up. You have to now understand that process, if it doesn't happen, you will not make it to the kingdom. You won't. You won't make it to the kingdom if that process is not done. Read that again now.
Psalms chapter 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are God are the clean heart.
Read on.
But as for me, my feet were almost covered. My steps had well nigh slipped.
I had went on, the world was going to take me. Go ahead.
For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the cross of the wicked.
That's our people's problem. We have slipped. We've slipped because we are envious of the world. We watch the cars they drive. We watch the homes they live in. We watch the lifestyle they live. Our people, instead of living the Bible, 90% of most of the time, and I'm guilty of the same thing, I'm living on TikTok. I'm living on Facebook. I'm living on just those social media sites, looking at them, how happy people are, or what they're doing, or the dumb stuff they're putting up. And more of our time is spent on social media than it is on allowing myself to work on the things in me that the Spirit is evidently showing that I'm flawed in, or my weaknesses, or the things I got to work on. This is what the Most High is trying to get us to that point of doing. I need these things worked on. I need you to be strengthened here. I need this to be purged. I love what we're going over. Spirit is showing one thing. The Most High is examining us. This is a process of being examined. There's a flaw in you. So we have to now turn blame into improvement. I'm not here to blame this person or blame that, because the scriptures say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. So everything that we're going against, this is a spiritual battle, not carnal. Men didn't do this to you. The Most High did it to you. The people around me didn't do this to me. The Most High is trying to expose weaknesses and flaws in you. So you can run. You can get angry and run and do everything else, but the Father's still looking and saying, there's still this process of these things having to come out of you so that you can be saved. There's a scripture that says nothing unclean or defiled was going to enter into the kingdom. And I know I'm paraphrasing, but everything that has been defiled, we not going to be in this condition and think that we're going to walk into the kingdom. You're a fool. But you ain't a fool. The Most High is doing it already. Yes, the Most High is patient, because we don't live that long anyway. The Most High is merciful. So you're like, you know what, I'm going to keep cleaning you up. I'm going to keep busting you down. I'm going to keep taking this from you. I'm going to keep making you, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep you without this until you figure out that this is a weakness or a flaw. This is something in you that you have to strengthen or you have to get rid of. I love it. What's going on? Were you seeing it? There's something no one can change. I can't change it. You can't change it. So if I can't avoid it, that's what Christ said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If Christ couldn't avoid the test that the Most High was going to put him through, we can't avoid it. There's no way we're going to avoid those tests and those things that we're going to have to go through. Like we get up, move around a little bit. I'm sorry, y'all. Get one of them long days. I'm trying not to ramble, but I'm looking at how the Spirit is showing and opening up for us. Trying to, one second.
Oh, it's hard.
But you look at how the Most High, she's trying to show us one thing. There's no way of getting away from it being examined. We've always lived in this scripture. We've lived, the scripture Most High said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. We never looked at, ever processed that the Father was examining us. I'm looking at what you're doing. The way I examine is I'm looking at what needs to be strengthened, what needs to be purged, and I'm doing it. I'm purging this. I'm looking at your weaknesses and your flaws here, and we're going to strengthen these because I'm getting you ready for the kingdom. And when you make a mistake, we're going to go through the process of cleaning you up. The Bible is built around this. But the Most I'll tell you, he casted those that he loved. This is about building up and correcting and getting right the ones that he loved. He said, if you're not, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, but if you're not chastised, he said, you're a bastard. If you're not allowing yourself to be corrected, then you're a bastard to the Father and not a son. This is about being cleaned up and getting prepared for us to go to the kingdom. Go to Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 12. Hold on, go to St. John chapter 19 and verse 27. St. John chapter 19 and verse 27.
St. John chapter 19, verse 27.
Verse Joshua 19. Is it 28? Yeah, go ahead, man. yeah, we started with you read 27. What we're gonna go into was Christ on the cross. This is the chapter that, you know, this is Christ's test, man, you know what I'm saying? But you look at it.
John 19, verse 25.
Yeah, start 25.
There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene.
Go ahead.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother.
You know?
And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, I thirst.
He said, from everything he said, I knew, he said, at that moment, everything that was prophesied, he said, it was fulfilled. Everything was prophesied. After this, I was like knowing that all things are now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, I thirst. He went through it. Go ahead.
Now, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, and put it into his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished.
But look at the end. I like what he's hitting. That was the end. The scriptures are fulfilled. And what comes after me? Christ gave the ghost the whole nine. But now I'm on the right side of the Father. I had to go through all this to get to where it was that was promised to me. I had to fulfill my part. This was my test. This is what I had to go through. This is the process that got me to the right-hand side of the Father. That's how the scripture in Isaiah, because he said, it pleased the Most High to bruise him. Because look what was being given to him. So when we look at death and say, man, and what I'm losing and everything else, afraid to lose, and go through and suffer and struggle. And the Most High's like, hey, if you go through it, there you go. Now the scriptures are fulfilled. They're no different than the scripture says two parts are going to be cut off and die. And the third part was going to go through the fire. Now we all going through the fire. It's finished. This is what the scripture said was supposed to happen. No different than Christ understood. This is what the scriptures say is supposed to happen. Now it's finished. It says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But where did I go on to? I fulfilled the will of the Father. I was cleaned up. Now I'm ready to be received into the kingdom. Go ahead.
The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was on high day.
Was on what? Because it was a high holy day. Yeah, it was a holy day. Go ahead.
It's not Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with them.
He's talking about all three of them that was on the cross, right? Go ahead.
When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They broke not his legs.
Read.
But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water.
Read.
And he that knoweth that he saith truth, that ye might believe.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken.
Go ahead.
Again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced.
Read on.
And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he sought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave.
Okay, permission. Go ahead.
And he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus.
Read on.
And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes at about 100-pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury.
Read on.
Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre.
Scepter.
Right.
Where
was never man yet laid.
Read on.
There they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand.
So it's showing you. You look at one thing, you look at the end result, everything that he had to go through. Just this is the scripture fulfilled. This scripture fulfilled. That scripture fulfilled. We're going to go through the same things. If this is about being, having to have to be refined as gold is tried. We're trying to escape the things that we have to go through to that prove us that story I'm looking for. They justify us in the eyes of the Most High. He went through. Well done. We went through that. Well done. You sacrificed this and gave up it. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful of a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the kingdom that was built for you. So for everything that Christ had to go through, the Father had to look down and now read Isaiah. Real quick. Hold up. We read that. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Start at verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report?
Go ahead.
To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
To whom is what?
The arm of the Lord revealed.
Read on.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground.
Read.
He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Read on.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Go ahead.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
That was the impression that was left of Christ. But the scriptures were fulfilled. It was supposed to be that way. It was going to be that way. The Father had him go through that. That was his curse. Read on.
But he was wounded for our transgression.
But he was wounded for what?
Our transgression.
Go ahead.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
We were.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Go ahead.
And with his stripes, we are healed.
Read on.
Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
That was what the Most High was going to have him go through. All that, the Father said, you ain't did nothing, but I'm going to have now you be the sacrifice for the nation. That was the burden that he had to carry. That was the test. That was what the Most High had him go through. Everything is written in the scriptures. You're going to go through this now. Now it's finished. not as can be prophesied. It can be not prophesied, but it can be, that's what I'm looking for. Now, the most I can look at this and say, you know what? You went through what I wanted you to go through. Now, for everything that Christ went through, and if Christ is our example, everything that we're going to have to go through, hold on, let me jump down. Don't you jump down. Read verse 10.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Read that again.
The Lord to bruise him.
Read.
He hath put him to grief.
It pleased the Most High to bruise him. It pleased the Most High to put him to grief. Read on.
When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin.
Read on.
He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Go ahead.
He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquity.
But in everything the Most High put him through, the Most High shall please him. You know, it's like we know when you read into this, it's like reading and saying, "Okay, in Christ, a debt was paid. A debt was paid by his blood." Right? So we're looking at this, the Most High showing one thing. For everything that we can look at and say, well, this ain't fair. This ain't fair. This is a process that's needed so that a man can be cleaned up so that he can stand right in the eyes of the Father. We don't realize this process was what the Most High needed from Christ so that we can stand right in the eyes of the Father, even for himself. It tells you the scriptures is crazy when you put things together, and the scripture says, through one man sent into the world, the first Adam, sent into him. The last Adam, which is Christ, was going to become a quickening spirit. He was going to have to make right what he started with. We all is going through it. The servant is not greater than his master. If Christ went through it, so are we. Meaning, we have to now clean up. We are going to have to now learn to do what's right so that we can be the first to show our people how to live right. We got to now clean ourselves up out of this wicked world so we can show them how to do it. And we are going to now have to bear the responsibility of all the things the Most High will have us go through for their sake, for our people's sake. We are going to suffer for their sake. We are going to sacrifice for their sake. Our lives, our time, everything is going to be an offering for what they need. Which was that? Now go back. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1.
Verse 1.
What does that say?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
Go ahead.
By the mercies of God.
Read on.
That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
I was right then. It is our time. We understand now what a living sacrifice was. Christ was a living sacrifice. I had to fulfill my part of the scriptures until it was finished. It was time for me to go. We're doing the same thing. We are going to become a living sacrifice. But whatever our nation needs, the Most High is going to make us, he's going to require us to make the sacrifices for them, suffer for them. Christ was that sacrifice for the nation. We are not no different. We are going to be bruised. Let me go back. Hold that. Go back to Isaiah one more time. Because now you can understand a living sacrifice. Isaiah 53, So we, you know, we come in the streets and we're looking for a pop. We're looking to win the popularity vote, right? Isaiah 53, and I want you to start at verse. Verse 3. You're going to read from verse 3, and you're going to read down to verse 5.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3.
So 53, verse 5 through verse 9. Read that.
Isaiah chapter
53,
verse 5.
Remember, I'm going to read this. You hold that, right? I'm going to read this. The scripture said to present your body a living sacrifice, right? So a lot of times we don't understand the process of being a living sacrifice, the things that you are going to have to go through because now you are a living sacrifice. We believe that Christ's sacrifice was just being put on the cross. I got put to death, but that's the easy way out. Death is out. If it was just he that moment, that day, I got nailed, pierced inside, thrown on my head, whipped, and I finally died. That was a one-day process. Or a couple of days, or whatever long it is. That's not the sacrifice that the Most High is talking about. The sacrifice, he said we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. What we're going to read is all of the things that happen to a living sacrifice. Read on. Isaiah 53 and 5.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
This is a living sacrifice. He didn't say he died. He said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Go ahead.
And chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Go ahead.
And with his stripes.
And with what?
His stripes.
Go ahead.
We are healed.
This is that living sacrifice. You don't think, what's a living sacrifice like? I go to work every day. I'm studying and reading every day. The most are like, nah, you don't really have an idea of what a living sacrifice is. That you got to present your body a living sacrifice. That means you're going to now suffer and struggle and go through things for your nation. We don't, you're going to start getting hit.
Bruised.
They don't feel good. They telling you, man, this is not, we're reading about a living sacrifice. This is an example of a living sacrifice. This is in Isaiah. So this is what Christ was going to become. And if the servant is not greater than his Lord, then we have to go, we have to prepare because we're going to be going through the same things for our nation because we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Read on.
All we our sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us
and
all.
He know our people. We look at the people around us today. Everybody likes sheep. Gone astray. They do what they want to do. Everyone of his, in his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I laid that responsibility. Now, I blame you. They went off crash. It's your fault. I'm going to put you through something that make it feel like, damn, it is your fault. Read on.
He was oppressed, and he was
Hold on. He was what?
He was oppressed.
Go ahead.
And he was afflicted.
Read on.
Yet he opened not his mouth.
Yeah, he did what?
Yet he opened not his mouth.
He wasn't. He didn't complain.
He didn't confess. He didn't. I'll say that first.
Nope.
Why are you doing this to
me? I wasn't complaining. I accepted my fate. I accepted the process because I am a living sacrifice. I understand the bigger picture. This is the Father's will. Read on.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
Read on.
And as a sheep before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth.
Verse 8.
He was taken from prison and from judgment.
This is not a dead man. This is a living sacrifice. These are examples of a living sacrifice. Christ had to go through it. We have to go through the same thing. This is not. Keep reading.
And who shall declare his generation?
And who shall declare his generation? That who's going to now stand up for his generation? Who's going to now be that sacrifice for his generation? Christ was a sacrifice for his generation. Now, as Israelites that know the truth, we are going to now be that sacrifice for our generation. Read on.
For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken.
Read.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, yet put him to grief. But thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin.
Moses said he had to make his spirit a what?
An offering. His soul an offering for sin.
So you got to look at it. When the Moses said, present your body a living sacrifice, all the things that we go through, the Most High used us to go through it so now that we can be an offering for sin. I got to learn. So now we can clean this up. Our people need to see what's wrong so it can be cleaned up. And you know what's crazy? Sometimes it ain't about wrong when you're reading with Christ. It wasn't even about that he did anything. But somebody had to be the sacrifice so that the Most High would accept Israel back. The Most High would forgive. If Isaiah was saying in every generation, there's going to be that. You're not going to get around it. It got to make sense. This is what pleased the Father. And I'm not in no way saying that we're going to be able to point out a man and say, oh, that man is he is going to be the sacrifice for this generation. But when I'm going through things, I need to understand that the sacrifices, the things I make, this is for my people. This is for that generation. If it's teaching, if it's growing, if it's having to have to be rejected of men, and I'm not, it's not cool, and everybody don't want to be with me, and I got, I don't have the things in the world that everybody got, the Most I like, I don't feel sorry for you. Christ went through that. Now you have to present your body a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, right? Because now we understand what a living sacrifice is. Romans chapter 12.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Acceptable.
Now, you know, I love what I read in Isaiah, because we read what type of sacrifice pleased the Father. We have to make ourselves like that. But everything I'm going through, I understand that this type of sacrifice, that I don't open, I'm going through something, I'm opening my mouth and complaining. But I'm going through things, I'm not just opening up my profile on Facebook. I got to let everybody in the world know on Facebook what I'm dealing with. And no, let me go through this so that if I can go through it, I can help the next person through it. Let me suffer, because I know that the suffers, the sacrifices that I make, this is acceptable and pleasing to the Father. You got again? 12 and 1, right?
Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God.
Acceptable unto who?
Unto God.
Read.
Which is your reasonable service.
When we understand what the Most High accepts, he accepts the grief. He accepts the bruising. He accepts the stripes. This is acceptable to me. That's the sacrifice. Read on.
And be not conformed to this world.
When you get thrown in jail, when you get stripes, when you get rejected.
You're going back. Which is the reasonable service. In other words, not excessive, it's not unjust. All of us.
And you look at it, man, we're not being asked. I have brothers always say this. The Most High asked us to get on the cross. He's not asking us to get nails through your hands. He's not asking us to get a thorn in our head. Or to be buried with the wicked. He's not asking for that. I am an example of righteousness. He's asked us to now be an example of cleaning up the imperfections and all the weaknesses in us so that we can be the example, we can show someone else how to do it. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The whole process is about cleaning up our thoughts. Like we read. The only way for a man to clean up his thoughts is in innocence, or clean up his hands is in innocence. I got to start learning to do what's right. So now my hands are cleaner because I've been focusing on the process of allowing myself to study, make the changes in me, so that I am doing what's right now. And now that, and I'm developing that pattern of good works. I love one thing. The Most High showed, he knew we wasn't perfect. He knew that we grew up in a wicked society. He knew we grew up around a bunch of evil. But because you're in an evil society and you don't change anything, or you don't learn to do what's well, do what's right, if you don't work to clean yourself up, then the only thing you're doing is keeping yourself in that negative environment. And we think, come from church, but you know what? The Most High won't forgive me. The Most High forgives. The Most High forgives the man who works on getting them, on cleaning himself up. That's the one the Most High is working with. That man to have a clean heart or a clean mind. That's the one the Most High is merciful and patient with. That's the one the Most High said he loved or he's pleased with. It's the process of cleaning yourself up. It's the process of allowing somebody to see, showing you the weaknesses in you. The wise keep saying the spirit, it be your life, it be situations, it be things going on that the Most High keeps showing you the flaw in you. And that is the thing that needs to be cleaned up. Where you at?
Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Read on.
And you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Read on.
For I say, through the grace given unto you, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to do.
You know what it's like? We think that we are too good to go through this. We are trying to figure out, well, why me? Why am I going through this? And that'd be a lot of the questions. A person can go through something, go through a tough time in life, go through this grief where it's like, damn, there's something in me I need to change, and I haven't worked on changing. And the Father's not blessing me, and I can't understand why this happened to me. Why me? Why is this required of me? You have to now understand that the mind has to change to understand that somebody else needs that example. Can't be about you. or about me or about anybody like that. Read on.
Thus you think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith.
Read on.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, though we be many, are one body of Christ, and every one members of another, one of another.
So you look at one thing. It's like saying everybody has a job to do. Everybody has they gift, but it's, I got to now come out of myself. I got to get rid of the selfishness in me and understand that my life is supposed to be a sacrifice. That means I'm not going to get to do what I want to do, but it's about me. It's about understanding that I'm a living sacrifice for my generation. I have to now, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose time here. I'm going to lose all the things in life that I want to do. I'm not going to do them because I got to now be what the Most High want me to be for my generation. A couple more scriptures that we own. St. John, St. John chapter 3. Not at all. No.
St. John chapter 3.
Read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to start at verse. I want you to start at verse 14.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you.
Hold on. Read it again.
Knowing that. He which raised up the Lord Jesus.
The Most High raised up Christ. Read. Shall raise up also by Christ. Or by Yahweh Shai. Read.
And shall present us with you.
Go ahead.
For all things are for your sake.
Hold up. He said what?
For all things are for your sake.
He said everything that. All the sacrifices were for who? It's for our people. All things are for your sake. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. It's all done, but the people that are going to benefit from it is your generation. People around you, they're going to benefit from your sacrifices, from the things that you had to give, you had to go through. Read on.
For all things are for our sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God.
Verse 16.
For which cause we faint not.
He said, and because we understand it's for your sake, we don't faint. We understand that what we go through is only going to have the Most High pleased, and now that's more than the Most High is going to do for our nation. That makes sense? Read 16 again.
Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish.
But though the outward man is perishing, that I'm losing more. Cars are gone, home's gone, body's breaking down, sacrificing more. Though my outward man is perishing, read on.
Yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
The Most High, the spirit in me is strengthened every day. And it comes from sacrifice. It comes from what I give for my nation, what I do for the next man. The sacrifice that I make, my comfort and everything is perishing. But what's been renewed day to day, that relationship with the Father, I look pleased. Every day our sacrifice is pleasing in the eyes of the Father. Read on.
For our life affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Now you can understand why he called it a light affliction. It's a light affliction because look at what you're going to receive. For what I have to go through, for the little I go through now, the most I have a whole kingdom in store for me. For what Christ went through, it was a light thing for what the most I gave him.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Uh-huh.
For the things which are seen are temporal.
They're what?
Temporal.
Everything around us. He said, it's temporal. He said, we don't look at the things we see. He said, we're looking for the things we don't see. We're looking for the blessings that are down the line, not what's, because all this is temporary. That means it's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. I can be alive, and I mean, things have been temporal. Yeah, it was here, and then it moved on past. It moved to here. It's always going to be changed. Read on.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
We're working on our own soul salvation. We're working on getting to that point that I understand that this is that process of working on the mind, cleaning up, being the sacrifice. I have to renew my spirit. Now we're going to understand how a man is going to, how he renews his spirit. I got to let the outer man perish and allow myself to work on the inner man. I got to let that renew every day. Rededicate myself every day. Being born again, being born, changing every day. But we're going to keep going in this process, man. Last scripture we're going to call it for tonight, man. I'm loving this, man. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Lie not one to another. See that ye have put off the old man with his deed.
Man, I like the life we live is a lie. You said we keep on Facebook, man. We know everybody on Facebook is a lie because it only shows one side. Most of the time, people only take pictures of the fun they have. That's it. So you think, man, this person must be happy in their life. Moses said, don't lie not one to another. I'm not supposed to act like cars and homes and everything else is, man, you're getting blessed by the Father. No, the blessing comes in the fact that the body is growing. The blessing comes in the fact that the camp is growing. There are new brothers and sisters that are coming up because you're making the sacrifices to help them, to build them up. That is what pleased the Father. That is what pleases him. So we're looking at, the Moses said that you lie not one to another. Go ahead. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds.
And verse 10, and that put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Read on.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew.
So it's showing you, this is not about status. It's not about who you are, who this person is. The most I'm looking at one thing. Are you renewed? Are you being renewed in knowledge? That means the more I learn, are you making the changes? Am I, if we were created to be righteous. Like Christ told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth, I ordained you a prophet. What I'm going at is there was a purpose for all of us being born. The Most High had you on the path. You started out as a child. You just didn't know what the path was. But because of the world and the influence of the world and everything that I've been going through and I've learned in this world is taking me from the path that the Most High had me on by the time I was born. The way you get back to that point of getting on that path that the Most High had intended for you, you have to learn more about the Father. You have to allow yourself to be renewed in knowledge. The knowledge is what changes me. The knowledge is that more I learn shows me what type of person I'm supposed to be. So you look at more people that fight not to study because they realize the more they study, the more it pulls you out of your selfishness. When you start making this thing about you, studies are like, no, it's not about you. It's about your nation. What about them? What about them? And we don't want to hear what about them. All we think about is what about me we build into. These are the changes that we have to focus on is getting, allowing the correction, allowing the things in the spirit and the changes the Most I want us to make. They are for your nation and they will benefit your nation, your people. No different than Christ giving us a second chance when he went through what he went through, living and dead. We're going to be that for our people. Can't say how we're going to die, but I know how we're supposed to live. Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. Going through what you need to go through for your nation. Learning to live right, making the sacrifices for your people. The thing that was important to the Father. And with that, not going to carry it on, man. I want everybody to come out, enjoy the Sabbath day. Scripture does say to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, tomorrow I know that the camps around from Virginia to San Antonio to Houston, you know what I'm saying? I know that the brothers, that especially our groups, are honoring the Sabbath day tomorrow. So, man, if you're home, you know, please get up. Go to class, man. Go to Sabbath class. The more you sit at home, there's no way you can change from home. There's no way to change from home. There's no way to let that spirit work on you from home. So if you can get out and get involved, the only thing you're going to be doing is working on improvement in your spirit, in your mind. The more the knowledge you learn, the better you get. The books you don't pick up and the things you don't learn, you're going to stay the same person. When Christ come back, you are going to die like that. You are going to be one of the two-thirds that perished because they never changed, because they never allowed themselves to be refined, to be made better, to be strengthened. So we're going to thank Michelle and the rest of the brothers, man, for what they do also. These shows, man, and we got more coming. You know what I'm saying? We definitely planning that we got more coming, man. You know, I'm proud of the brother, man. I mean, 1,000 shows, and we're still looking. We're always talking and looking at new ways and new things to keep edifying and keep building. You know what I'm saying? And keep doing this work. So I always, you know, if I can commend, I always commend them to say, man, keep pushing forward because it's definitely appreciated, man. It's never not respected or appreciated, and I want you to know that. So with that, we're going to end the show, man, and we're going to ask everybody, thank you, to keep tuning in to all the episodes of Blog Talk. Shalom.